You're listening to the official EFL podcast.
Deafening sound. Guy Butters must score. He doesn't. He's missed. It's saved by Nicky Weaver. And Manchester City are back in the first division. That is quite an astonishing game.
De Vries with the cross. The header. It's in. It's Connor Jennings. Tranmere Rovers, whose double dip led to their world caving in, could be getting back to where they were in double quick time.
The ball in, header blocked. Jimmy Glass scores! The Carlisle United! Amazing scenes at Brunton Park.
Hello and welcome again to the official EFL podcast as we look back at the most thrilling end to the regular Skybet Championship season ever. Leeds were crowned champions over the weekend, of course, and lifted the trophy for the first time since 1992. We'll talk more about them later in the show, but elsewhere, everything, and I mean everything, was still to play for.
The Skybet Championship.
Tymon, cross again, McLean misses it, but Gregory doesn't. And Stoke are giving themselves a two-goal cushion. And all of a sudden, his Nottingham Forest playoff dream beginning to evaporate. It's McLean. He's got support up with him at the moment, but doesn't need it because Da Costa will slide it into his empty net. And it's an own goal. And surely that compounds Forest's misery now.
I have no words. Honestly, it's disaster because to play everything on the last game and to have everything in your hands and to give away the playoff, the whole season, like that, I have no words.
Well, the most important thing is that we got the job done. You know, we believed. We knew that, the odds were stacked against us a little bit, obviously, but we knew we got goals in the team, and we knew that, you know, this championship, and particularly at the latter end, can throw up all sorts.
It's Barnsley's turn to go in search of a winner that might well keep them up. Woodrow sends it across, and it's put away. Extraordinary. Adoa has scored in injury time. And Barnsley have given themselves a fighting chance of staying up here.
We work so hard for this the last few months. And always believe in that we can stay in the league. And now it's reality. I am so happy. I am so proud with my boys. Yeah, and I think we celebrate this. And today we make a big party.
Football is brutal. Football is absolutely brutal.
Cabano, and it's 1-1. A heartbreaker for Wigan. But Fulham back in business. Thanks to Naiskins Cabano.
It's a group of people who are absolutely devastated. You know, as you can imagine, they've been dealt a really cruel hand. You know, and they really had the belief that they could overturn the 12 points and, you know, still stay up. You know, tonight was a night, it was always going to be tough against a good Fulham side. You know, excellent players all over the pitch. But as per normally, didn't leave a breath on the pitch. I'm so proud of them. I'm so proud of the football club, how we've reacted to the adversity. You know, everyone connected with Wigan Athletic should be proud of what they've done in the last few weeks.
James Collins from the spot this season, 5 from 6. This is pressure. This is Collins. That is 3-1 Luton Town. In goes that corner and Berry clear. And that is that. Luton Town and Nathan Jones are staying in the championship.
West Bromwich Albion have done it. They are back in the Premier League.
I'm proud of my staff. I'm proud of the whole club, of the players especially, that we've done something special to this wonderful fans and to this wonderful club.
So to discuss all the drama last night with me is Joby McEnough. Have you recovered from watching that? And I know you did all the games for Sky last night, but it must have been tiring just to even watch them.
It was, you know, you could see in the players afterwards, you know, Carl Bartley's interview, he was just emotionally, physically drained. Same with Slaven Bilic, you know, you could see the relief on his face. And again, sitting there watching all the different permutations, who was doing what, you know, what position, what team was in at various parts of the night. Yeah, it certainly was, it was quite difficult to keep up with at times, but absolutely incredible finish to the season. You know, certainly for any of us who were from a neutral standpoint, it was certainly an enjoyable night. It would be for the ones that achieved their goals, but also, you know, massive, massive disappointments for a lot of the teams that were involved in it last night as well.
Yeah, the highs and lows of football, of course. But if I'd have said to you this time last week that 1 point out of Huddersfield and QPR would have been enough for West Brom to go up, what would you have said?
I would have said you were mad, first and foremost. I would have said that there were two games that you'd probably want to get yourself over the line. Of course, they haven't been in good form since the restart, you know, certainly comparable to teams in and around them. But I still felt, you know, you're going to go and get at least probably 4 points from those two games that I felt probably could have got you over the line. But, you know, to do it with one, I mean, is just incredible. And I think, you know, the teams around, and particularly Brentford with the run that they were on, you know, really be kicking themselves this morning. But you also have to look at the bigger perspective over the course of the season. For me, West Brom have fully deserved that place. And it's not about how you do it sometimes, it's just about doing it. And, you know, they managed to get over the line, and fair play to them.
Yeah, no, they've obviously faltered a little bit since the restart, but like you mentioned, they have been in the top two most of the season. How difficult would it have been for them to miss out on that final day? That would have been a bitter pill to swallow.
Yeah, I think they would have really struggled. I think psychologically, you know, being the team that has been in that top two, coming off the break, they had 10 points on Brentford, you know, coming back from the restart. So to have seen that evaporate and see Brentford go up, I think would have been a real blow for them, that they would have struggled to get over. You know, certainly from a player's point of view, you'd just be looking back and thinking, that should be us, we should be up. And then to get yourself up again for a game that you feel you shouldn't even be having to play, particularly against sides that are coming in good form, you know, which, you know, the fifth and sixth place teams now, you know, I've got that momentum. I think it would have been very, very difficult for them. So listen, I'm sure everyone at that football club's very, very relieved this morning. But again, you know, I have to reiterate, over the course of the season, you know, I do feel they fully deserve that automatic spot.
Yeah, I think we saw the relief in Kyle Bartley's interview after the game. So congratulations to West Brom, of course. But do you think Brentford's players felt the pressure when it was in their hands? You know, no experience of being in that situation at all, of course, throughout the season. And they obviously had the game against Stoke where they could have overtaken West Brom.
Yeah, undoubtedly. You know, we've spoken about it numerous times, you know, when we're doing the games. It's a completely different mindset, you know, when you're coming out of that restart as the chaser. You know, Brentford had nothing to lose. It was still an uphill task for them to get anywhere near West Brom at that stage. And all they had to do is go out and win games. They pretty much knew they were going to be in the playoffs. Whether they could get close enough, nobody knew at that stage. And as the games ticked over and the results kept coming, you know, they get closer. For me, I felt genuinely, after West Brom lost, that it was there for the taking for Brentford. But it shows what that pressure does to players, and they just couldn't quite get themselves together when it really, really mattered. And again, I think that'll be a big, big frustration for everyone involved. They've done fantastic to even be in with a shot. Let's not underestimate that level of performance that they put in to give themselves a chance, but to fall so close to the end will be a huge disappointment, I'm sure.
8 out of 10 wins in the last 10 games, sorry, for Brentford. Still an incredible achievement. But we have to speak about Barnsley as well. Another injury time winner for them, this time at Griffin Park, of all places. Sees them, you know, stay up pending Wigan's appeal, of course. We heard the emotion in Gerhard Struber's voice after the game last night. They really have done something special, haven't they?
Absolutely magnificent. I can't speak highly enough of Gerhard Struber. And for me, I love that after the game, you know, seeing that emotion, what it means to him, you know, what it means to that football club, the work that he's obviously put in with those players. He kept talking about my boys and we, and the togetherness is so evident and so clear. There's no way they could have got out of that situation without, you know, that unity and that team spirit. So to see it all pour out of him after was, you know, something I love, because that's what it means, you know, to everyone that's involved in football day to day, but particularly when you overcome the odds that they were up against. You know, they were miles off it for me, you know, dead certs to go down, really. Certainly second half of the season, restart, you know, they're up against it, you know, smallest budget in the league. So to pull off that is just incredible. Again, you spoke about West Brom's running and it being favourable. I mean, Barnsley, Leeds, Forest, and then last night away to Brentford to get the points that they need. You know, they played really well against Leeds, could have got something, didn't let it affect them. Last minute winner against Forest, and then again to come late last night, you know, to take 6 points from those last two games, for me, you know, they fully deserve, you know, that result and managing to stay up. Again, it's difficult, so much other things going on around you, different teams doing, you know, different things, but, you know, he said there was a clear focus to what they were doing, and, you know, the scenes after, again, with all the players were fantastic. So real credit, fair play to him. You know, an incredible achievement to keep them up.
You mentioned the final two games there. I'm guessing the fact that people, you know, like yourself, the pundits, gave them no chance whatsoever of staying up based on that. I'm guessing that will have been part of their motivation, though, behind the scenes.
Of course, you know, you use anything you can. It might be a comment, you know, from a pundit. It might be, you know, other managers. Anything you can use to create that motivation, to create that drive within a group, you have to use it, particularly when you're down there. And, you know, you can kind of create an environment, an atmosphere, sort of you against the world mentality, which I'm sure, again, they would have had in that camp. And the thing I love about it never got to the point where they felt they couldn't do it. You know, they always remain positive, you know, and to come good at the right time is, again, huge testament to the belief that he has in those players, but clearly they have in him as well. And it was, again, you know, brilliant to see.
Huge testament has to go to Luton as well, and Nathan Jones, another incredible achievement for him, a 3-2 win against Blackburn, securing their safety. He really does know how to get the best out of that squad, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. I think sometimes in football, things just fit. You know, and I think Nathan Jones and Luton are one of those scenarios to me where, you know, he did an incredible job first time around, you know, with the promotions, getting them going up the leagues, you know, good football played as well. Again, on a small budget compared to a lot of the other teams that they're up and against. Of course, he went off a big move, I'm sure, for him at the time. Didn't quite work out anywhere near as well as he would have liked to have done, and to get the opportunity to go back, it was a brave decision, you know, in my opinion, to go back in a situation that they were in. You know, it's not as if, you know, they were either already down or, you know, it's the next season and he's got a fresh start there. He's had to go back in real difficult circumstances, and, you know, to go around and produce that turnaround, you know, clearly it does help. He knows some of the players there, they know him, so he hasn't had that time where he's had to bed new things in. You know, it is a matter of, I'm sure that was in the thinking of everyone at Luton and getting him back in there to try and have that immediate impact. And again, for me, you know, they were odds on, you know, heavily odds on to go down with Barnsley. So two miracle great escapes, and again, nothing but praise and credit should go to Nathan Jones and that squad of players.
Yeah, I think the Luton fans will have forgiven him for leaving in the first place after that. But now let's talk about probably the most dramatic turnaround last night, the battle for the playoffs. I didn't even have them in the picture to miss out the last time I spoke to you, but somehow Nottingham Forest knocked out of the playoffs after a 6-goal swing in favour of Swansea. How devastated will that Forest squad be after that?
Oh, they'll be on the floor this morning, I'm sure. You know, that is just one I don't think anyone saw coming. You know, you see situations like that come up so often where, you know, it's a big swing needed. I mean, 6 goals over one match or two matches, obviously, each team. But, you know, you just couldn't write it. You know, you're seeing the goals go in both games and you're thinking, hang on, you know, the goal difference is starting to close up a little bit. Surely they can't concede another one, or Swansea can't score another one. And again, as the night went on, it just seemed inevitable that they just couldn't control what was happening in their game and clearly not in the other game. So, you know, for a team that's been so entrenched in that playoff picture this season, you know, they've had a really good year. And again, let's try and keep a bit of perspective for their overall season. You know, they were good for the vast majority of it. To fall out by, you're talking about a goal or two, is just, you know, heartbreaking, really. And, you know, there'll be some serious questions there, I think, this morning and moving forward.
Will it be, say, like the equivalent of losing a playoff, you know, final, essentially? Going out in that manner is just, it was just so unexpected, of course.
Yeah, you know what? I think it's worse, though, because, you know, at least having got to the playoffs, you know, you've achieved that first goal, that first step that, you know, clearly that was the ambition once they got themselves into the position they were in. So this is almost like it's just been snatched away from you at the very last moment before they've even got that opportunity that they will feel they deserve based on what they've done throughout the season. But again, listen, it comes down to what you do over 46 games. You know, I'm a big believer in, you know, every goal counts, you know, every point counts. I've made playoffs by a goal. I've lost out on playoffs by a point. So over a course of a season, it is those real fine margins, fine details. And it's easy to look at last night. Of course it is. But there will be so many other opportunities that they've missed this year to pick up that extra point that would have got them in. And again, it just shows the real fine margins there are between success and failure at top level, really.
Let's talk about the success for Swansea, though. How much confidence will they have now going into Sunday's game against Brentford, going into on the manner of a victory like that in the circumstances like that?
Oh, they'll be absolutely flying this morning. You know, you could see Steve Cooper last night, you know, really got caught up in the emotions, which he would do. And then he was very quick to sort of rein it in and say, listen, we've still got, you know, work to do, but you've got to use that momentum. You've got to use that enthusiasm, you know, ride the wave, I would call it, you know, that adrenaline that's going to be pumping around, you know, that stadium, that training ground the next time they're in. And, you know, we talk about it all the time, the momentum coming into the playoffs is massive. Again, they were a real outside bet, you know, a few games ago. So to have got themselves in it now, I personally think they'll be looking at it as, you know, we've got nothing to lose. We'll go out there. The pressure's not going to be on them. The pressure for me very much is with Brentford, is with Fulham, the teams that have been in there for all that time and that have had opportunities to potentially go up automatically. So, you know, they're going to be a dangerous team. You know, again, their form's been very, very good of late. They're carrying good form in. So it's going to be a real difficult one. They've got players that have hit form at the right time, real nice mix, you know, of experience and youth. And he's certainly got them going. So they're going to be a real team to contend with once those playoffs start.
They talk about that experience. Wayne Routledge, of course, rolling back the years for them last night. But Ryan Brewster, the youth in that side, in such good form for them as well. Is he the man that Brentford will have to fear most? He got his 10th goal of the season last night. He only came in January.
Yeah, he's done fantastic. You know, and I think for any team that wants to get into those playoff places, they need a goal scorer. And certainly in January, by bringing him in, you know, that's been a massive, massive boost for them. I think they missed that during parts of this season, and he seems to have just given them that little edge, you know, that they can finish off moves, finish off games. I mean, you've got someone in such hot form like he is, sometimes you only need one chance, two chances a game, and, you know, he's going to stick them away. So, you know, that would be massive. I'm sure Brentford will be doing their homework, you know, watching what he's been doing and trying to make sure that there's a plan to look after him. And obviously, from Swansea's point of view, it's just trying to get him in the areas, as he has been doing recently, to stick the ball in the net. So, you know, he's going to be a big, big threat, you know, coming into it. Again, for a young boy coming away from his club, going out to get football, again, that's something I love to see. So, you know, I really commend him for getting himself out and going to cut his teeth and show people that he can score goals, you know, outside of that environment that he's normally in.
I can score goals from all over the place as well, as we saw last night, an incredible effort from outside the box. But surprisingly, Brentford come into the playoffs as well on the back of two defeats. They weren't fearing anyone just a week ago. Has that now changed?
I think you'd have to say yes. I mean, to see the form they were in, you know, absolutely flying, just winning games, you know, left, right and centre, to then have a two-game losing little mini run at the back end of a season, it's not where you want to be heading into those playoffs. You know, you're going to be disappointed. There's going to be players thinking what could have been. But I must say, Thomas Frank's really impressed me this year. He's stayed very calm. You know, he hasn't got carried away, whether it be at the start of the season when he didn't have a particularly good start, or recently when they've been flying. He seems to be a very level-headed guy. And I think that will really help them just to readjust. You know, again, he spoke recently about even just having the opportunity to get into second place, which was a great achievement for them. So I'm sure he'll be reinforcing that. Listen, it hasn't quite happened, but let's dust ourselves down. We're still a very good team. You know, they've still got a huge amount of threat within that team. They had been very, very solid, again, up until the last couple of games and hadn't conceded many. So I think if they can get back to that with their attacking force, you know, for me, they're still the favourites to get through that semi.
Yeah, I think you saw the level-headedness of Thomas Frank after the game against Barnsley last night, where he came out and basically just said that's the championship. But your former team, Cardiff, cruised into the top six in the end. They take on Fulham, who beat them just a few weeks ago, though. Will that be in those players' minds still? And will it be a hindrance or will it be a motivation for them?
Oh, it'll be a motivation, no doubt about it. You know, and also playing somebody so recently, you know, when you're analysing games, when you're breaking down what went well, what didn't went well. If this was 4 months ago, then things do change in that time. But what they would have seen a couple of weeks ago at Fulham is what they're going to see, you know, when the playoffs come around. So I'm sure everyone behind the scenes will be picking the bones out of that. You know, what didn't we do so well? What can we do better? How can we hurt them to come up with a game plan? Of course, it's different. It's two games and it's a different mindset going into the playoffs than it would be in a normal league game. So for me, you know, Cardiff will, I'm sure, for that first leg, be wanting to keep things as tight as possible. You know, certainly not letting Fulham get off to a good start. They've had a fantastic away record since Neil Harris has come in. And I think that's something that over the two legs, if they can get to Craven Cottage in good shape after the first game, then again, I think they'd quite fancy themselves of going and turning them over, given that the pressure is very, very much on Fulham to get promoted.
You've already touched on this, but I know that Cardiff obviously went down from the Premier League last year, but is it fair to say that Fulham and Brentford are under most pressure to perform now after the seasons that they've had?
Yeah, for me, Fulham have carried that burden the whole season, you know, and I think Scott Parker's done a fantastic job. I really do. I've spoken about it, you know, in previous pods and different environments. You know, he's been under pressure from day one. You know, it's that you look at the squad, automatically people say they should be going up, but it's not as simple as that. You know, he's a young manager, you know, finding his way, learning on the job, you know, and I think he has improved, he's developed himself this season, you know, with his mentality and what he expects from that team. They lost the first two since, you know, once the restart kicked off. And a lot of people might have thought they could just slip away a little bit and maybe not come into playoffs in good form, but they've really got themselves together. He seems to have galvanised them, you know, got them stronger, really difficult to beat. You know, they got back to scoring goals again against Sheffield Wednesday, obviously conceded a few. But again, with the attacking threat that they pose, they're going to be a very, very difficult opponent to face. And for me, out of the four teams, they'd probably be my favourites to go up. I wouldn't want to be playing Cardiff, especially in the form that they're in, and almost gate crashing that top six. And they'll be a real difficult opponent to come up against. But I just got a feeling that Fulham, you know, for me, are the favourites slightly.
You say Fulham are your favourites. Who do you see in the final out of this? Do you see it being a Fulham-Brentford final? Because obviously a South Wales derby would be something special as well.
Yeah, either way, you know, it's going to be, you know, a massive game, as it always is. But certainly if it was going to be a South Wales derby or, you know, a West London derby, it just adds to the occasion. So, again, for me, I would have to say that, yeah, Fulham and Brentford would be my favourites. But listen, this is playoff football. Again, you know, it's about who turns up, who can execute, you know, who doesn't get affected by that pressure that we've seen Brentford be affected by in the last couple of games. So is that going to have a bearing? Is that going to have an impact? and will the mentality of Cardiff and Swansea almost come in late really help them, which in a lot of cases over the years we've seen it does. So it's not as straightforward. We only have to look at last night. We only have to look at the results since the restart to know that this isn't going to be a simple, you know, third and fourth place, beat the five and sixth place and that's it. There's going to be a lot more frills and spills and, you know, I for one can't wait for the playoffs now.
Yeah, special end to the regular season and, you know, an exciting end, obviously, as usual with the playoffs. Joby, thanks for your time this week.
Pleasure. Thanks, man.
It's Hernandez! He's a magician!
A little ball for Aileen! It's in! Birmingham 4, Leeds 5!
What a spectacular strike from the fullback.
The Leeds United machine is rolling again! Destination Premier League!
Here's Aileen, and he cuts it back. It's Hernandez! He has done it! And Leeds are on the break.
Back momentarily with their strike. And that is a lovely pass into the path of Poveda. The substitute breaking forward. And here is Shackleton, and it's 4-0. The two substitutes combining there, Poveda and Shackleton. And Shackleton, who scored against Derby at the weekend, he's on the score sheet again. And Bielsa's side are threatening to run Ryan here. Lovely pass by Struyck. Poveda gave chase. And just teed it up for his fellow 20-year-old. And Shackleton slid it out for 4-0. Leeds really trotting out the party pieces now. Of added time, and that in fact is that. The final whistle has gone on the final championship game of the season at Elland Road. And it will put Premier League football for Leeds next season.
Now joining me is the last man to guide Leeds to promotion, Simon Grayson. Just explain to me, as a Leeds man, what does it mean to see the club back in the Premier League?
Well, I think it's been a long time coming, and no club has got the divine right to go back to the next division above. But when you look at the football club, it's gone through a lot of dark times. So to embrace this positive stage of where they are as a city, a football club, ownership, it's a fantastic feeling. I think when you look over the last period of time, I think this period of time now is all about a relief that they've managed to get there. Because really, apart from last year that when they fell away in the playoffs, there hasn't been too many opportunities that they've thought we could have got a chance of going back to the Premier League. But with some stability with the owners and obviously an outstanding coach, it means the world to them supporters who've gone through a lot of dark times, as I mentioned.
From your experience, though, what will it be like, you know, in that changing room at the minute? Describe the emotion when you achieve something like that.
Well, I think when you start pre-season, you've obviously got big plans of what's going to happen throughout the course of the season. You work hard on the training pitch. You're going to have the roller coaster ride of ups and downs. So I think when you finish the season and you've achieved promotion, it's one of relief because it's what you've achieved, what you set out to do when you went back for the start of the season. But ultimately as well, when you're connected with the football club, you can be very proud of that achievement. You can be in there and think, I've given something back to this famous football club. We are, as a group of players, staff, going to be held in so much high regard now. They go down in folklore history at Leeds United. And because it's been such a long time coming, then it's even more special because I think there's a connection with this group of players and the manager and the owner with the supporters that they feel the bad times and they've got to embrace the great period of time that they've gone through over the last few days.
You say it's been a long time coming. It's been a very long season as well. What has been the key to Leeds' success, though, throughout that campaign?
I think they've just been very consistent. I think they've always played in the same manner. They've tried to always dominate the possession of the ball. They've tried to take the game to the opposition. And I think when you look at them, they've learnt from last year. They've learnt from the disappointment. And that's been a big key because it is difficult sometimes to go again after you miss out after disappointment of the previous season and a huge expectancy level that there is at Leeds United. So full credit to them that they've They've had that resilience about them. They've had that togetherness about them. And they've not gone away from what Marcelo Bielsa has wanted them to do, and that is dominate possession, entertain, score goals. And they've had that bit more of a resilience, I'll use that word, in terms of seeing games out when it's been tough for them.
You touched on this, but has one of the key things that they, you know, that they didn't change their approach from last year, that they carried on the way that they were playing at the start of this season to the end?
Well, I think you realise with Bielsa, he's not going to change his ideas and philosophies. He's too long in the tooth to do that. I think what he'll have done, he will have learned from last season as well about himself, what the Championship is about, what the football club and his players as well. I think they've recruited really well in the summer by getting Harrison back, and then Ben White has been an absolute revelation. So I think if you put all them factors together, then starting the season as well in a positive manner, no hangover from the previous disappointment, that it was all rolling in the one direction of promotion.
Yeah, and out of all the things that Bielsa has done, though, what has impressed you the most since he's been manager of Leeds? Obviously, people, you know, wax lyrical about his methods.
Well, I think everybody can see how well they play, pass the ball through the thirds. His obviously time on the training ground coaching the players has been testified by how they've played, but from what the players are saying as well, that they feel that they've improved immensely under his knowledge and his know-how of getting the best out of a group of players, and his technical and tactical decisions that he's had to do as well. And as I mentioned earlier, I think he'll have learnt his lesson as well from certain situations last year that maybe he's had to change. But he is, when you look at him away from football, he's so humble. You see him walking to the training ground, he's around the shops in his local supermarket, and he's stopping for having pictures with everybody. He's got no airs and graces about him. Even when you saw the presentation last night, he was quite wanted to be in the background. He didn't really want to be at the front lifting the trophy. Well, believe me, if I'd been there, I'd have been lifting that trophy. Many, many other managers up and down the country would have been. But that's just how he is. He puts his players first before himself. And that's obviously how he's always been. And that's the respect that he's got throughout the worldwide game.
Yeah, you touched on some of the players as well, in Jack Harrison and Ben White. But out of the entire squad, who's impressed you the most in terms of the individual players as well?
Well, I think they will use it as a collective promotion, that they've done it as a team, and there'll be a lot of unsung heroes really. Stuart Dallas played nearly every game, different position. Klitsch started every game apart from the Derby game. Liam Cooper been fantastic captaining the team. When they've had a couple of bad results, he's had to pick players up, deal with the pressure of being the captain of Leeds United. But I think you've got to look at Hernandez and Phillips as well, to be fair. Calvin just gives them that protection in front of the back four, his range of passing, breaking up the play. You need people like that in your team if you're going to be successful. And then on the top end of the pitch, you want people that can score your goals, create goals, pick a pass and get so many assists. And Pablo Hernandez is just up there with one of the best players that has been in the Championship for a number of years now, because he's heavily involved, if everything that is good when Leeds are playing.
I know, obviously, you have slightly different approaches in terms of your managerial style to Marcelo Bielsa, but did you see any similarities between the team in terms of the characteristics that got you promoted 10 years ago to the team that we see now?
I think the team that we had back then was a team that liked to go forward, entertain and score goals. And we had some talented players like Snodgrass, Cradle, Becchio, House and Beckford, with some talented players. And I think Leeds at the top end of the pitch have been very good in that respect as well. I think when you look at them, they have got that spirit amongst them, that they've got this camaraderie that they're going to say, right, we're going to go through bad times, but when we have a bad time, we need to come out the other side, because we've got this big city and this big football club resting on our shoulders, and a lot of people will be hugely disappointed if we don't manage to achieve what they're wanting us to achieve. So having that spirit amongst themselves, resilience, as I mentioned earlier, but also the responsibility can sometimes weigh players down, but it hasn't done with this group as it didn't with mine.
And you said about, obviously, in terms of, it's a magnificent achievement what they have achieved this season, but what do they have to do now to stay in the Premier League? Because obviously that's the biggest challenge the club have got.
Well, I think any club getting promoted into the Premier League, first and foremost, will be just desperate to stay in, however. But you're not talking really about a normal club. There will be huge expectancy levels as well from the supporters that they'll want to go and try and do what Wolves did in their first year, what Sheffield United have done recently. But it's not that easy. I think when you look at how they will operate as a club, yes, I do think there'll be signings without a shadow of doubt, but they won't be going out and spending 130 million like Aston Villa and totally revamping the squad. I think Bielsa likes to have a group of players that he knows and they know how he works, but also add along new, better quality. Probably need a couple of players at the top end of the pitch, depending on what's going to happen with Ben White as well. That's going to be another key area for them. So recruitment is going to be a big thing this summer, but I'm sure they'll have a host of players and agents that will be desperate to go to Leeds United in the Premier League.
And finally, for you personally, though, how does it feel, as I mentioned, to have played your part in the club's journey back to the Premier League? If your team didn't do what they did 10 years ago, you know, they may not be where they are today.
Yeah, it's been nice over the weekend when I was in Leeds. People are saying that to me and on social media that we played a part because we started it. I just wish it hadn't been 10 years ago. And in a selfish way, it'd have been nice if I was being able to achieve that when I had the group of players at my disposal back then in 2010, 11, 12. So, yeah, it's great that the club have now achieved it. They've got to just make sure that they carry on with what they're doing. And just going back to your point, yeah, I'm very proud that I've laid the foundations or set them on the way of getting back to the Premier League. Because there's still a lot of people at that football club that I know that have been working behind the scenes for many, many years. And a lot of the success will goes down to them, not just the present group of players and the ownership, but people at the ground staff, to the ladies in the canteen and people like that. They deserve it just as much as others.
Well, Simon, well, congratulations on playing your part, and thanks again for joining us.
No worries.
Well, that's it from me this week. An astonishing week. We'll be back for the playoffs soon, though. Don't forget to like and subscribe if you've enjoyed it. Bye for now.